Paddy was my mate for about the next fortnight, and as he was the first tramp I had known at all well, I want to give an account of him. I believe that he was a typical tramp, and there are tens of thousands in England like him. He was a tallish man, aged about 35, with fair hair going grizzled and watery blue eyes. His features were good, but his cheeks had lanked and had that greyish, dirty-in-the-grain look that comes of a bread and margarine diet. He was dressed, rather better than most tramps, in a tweed shooting jacket and a pair of very old evening trousers with the braid still on them. Evidently, the braid figured in his mind as a lingering scrap of respectability, and he took care to sew it on again when it came loose. He was careful of his appearance altogether, and carried a razor and boot-brush that he would not sell, though he had sold his papers and even his pocket-knife long since. Nevertheless, one would have known him for a tramp 100 yards away. There was something in his drifting style of walk, and the way he had of hunching his shoulders forward, essentially abject. Seeing him walk, you felt instinctively that he would sooner take a blow than give one. He'd been brought up in Ireland, served 2 years in the war, and then worked in a metal polish factory, where he had lost his job 2 years earlier. He was horribly ashamed of being a tramp, but he had picked up all a tramp's ways. He browsed the pavements unceasingly, never missing a cigarette end, or even an empty cigarette packet, as he used the tissue paper for rolling cigarettes. On our way into Edbury, he saw a newspaper parcel on the pavement, pounced on it, and found that it contained 2 mutton sandwiches, rather frayed at the edges. These he insisted on my sharing. He never passed an automatic machine without giving a tug at the handle, for he said that sometimes they are out of order and will eject pennies if you tug at them. He had no stomach for crime, however. When we were in the outskirts of Rompton, Paddy noticed a bottle of milk on a doorstep, evidently left there by mistake. He stopped, eyeing the bottle hungrily.
"Christ," he said, "there's good food going to waste. Somebody could knock that bottle off, eh? Knock it off, easy."
I saw that he was thinking of knocking it off himself. He looked up and down the street. It was a quiet residential street, and there was nobody in sight. Paddy's sickly, chap-fallen face yearned over the milk. Then he turned away, saying gloomily,
"Best leave it. Don't do a man no good to steal. Thank God I ain't never stolen nothing yet."
It was funk, bread of hunger, that kept him virtuous. With only 2 or 3 sound meals in his belly, he would have found courage to steal the milk. He had 2 subjects of conversation, the shame and come-down of being a tramp, and the best way of getting a free meal. As we drifted through the streets, he would keep up a monologue in this style, in a whimpering, self-pitying Irish voice.
"It's hell being on the road, eh? It breaks your heart going into them bloody spikes. But what's a man to do, Elsie? I ain't had a good meat meal for above 2 months, and my boots is getting bad, and Christ, how'd it be if we was to try for a cup of tea at one of them convents on the way to Edbury? Most times they're good for a cup of tea. Ah, what'd a man do without religion, eh? I've took cups of tea from the convents, and the Baptists, and the Church of England, and all sorts. I'm a Catholic myself. That's to say, I ain't been to confession for above 17 years, but still I got my religious feelings, you understand. And them convents is always good for a cup of tea," etc., etc.
He would keep this up all day, almost without stopping. His ignorance was limitless and appalling. He once asked me, for instance, whether Napoleon lived before Jesus Christ or after. Another time, when I was looking into a bookshop window, he grew very perturbed because one of the books was called Of the Imitation of Christ. He took this for blasphemy.
"What the hell did they want to go imitating of him for?" he demanded angrily.
He could read, but he had a kind of loathing for books. On our way from Rompton to Edbury, I went into a public library, and though Paddy did not want to read, I suggested that he should come in and rest his legs, but he preferred to wait on the pavement.
"No," he said, "the sight of all that bloody print makes me sick."
Like most tramps, he was passionately mean about matches. He had a box of matches when I met him, but I never saw him strike one, and he used to lecture me for extravagance when I struck mine. His method was to cadge a light from strangers, sometimes going without a smoke for half an hour rather than strike a match. Self-pity was the clue to his character. The thought of his bad luck never seemed to leave him for an instant. He would break long silences to exclaim, apropos of nothing, "It's hell when your clothes begin to go up to spout, eh?" Or, "That tea in the spout ain't tea, it's piss," as though there were nothing else in the world to think about. And he had a low, worm-like envy of anyone who was better off, not of the rich, for they were beyond his social horizon, but of men in work. He pined for work as an artist pines to be famous. If he saw an old man working, he would say bitterly, "Look at that old keeping able-bodied men out of work." Or if it was a boy, "It's them young devils what's taking the bread out of our mouths." And all foreigners to him were "dem bloody dagos," for according to his theory, foreigners were responsible for unemployment. He looked at women with a mixture of longing and hatred. Young, pretty women were too much above him to enter into his ideas, but his mouth watered at prostitutes. A couple of scarlet-lipped old creatures would go past. Paddy's face would flush pale pink, and he would turn and stare hungrily after the women. "Tarts," he would murmur, like a boy at a sweet shop window. He told me once that he had not had to do with a woman for 2 years since he had lost his job, that is, and he had forgotten that one could aim higher than prostitutes. He had the regular character of a tramp, abject, envious, a jackal's character. Nevertheless, he was a good fellow, generous by nature, and capable of sharing his last crust with a friend. Indeed, he did literally share his last crust with me more than once. He was probably capable of work, too, if he had been well fed for a few months. But 2 years of bread and margarine had lowered his standards hopelessly. He had lived on this filthy imitation of food till his whole mind and body were compounded of inferior stuff. It was malnutrition and not any native vice that had destroyed his manhood.